Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the third to last Sunday of the church year for those of us that keep track of those kinds of things. And the last three Sundays of the church year has a trilogy of parables. Today we begin in Matthew chapter 25 and we hear parable number one. Next week, parable number two. And the last Sunday of the church year, parable number three. All three parables that Jesus tells, boom, 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 right in a row, is helping us to know he's coming back. Are you ready? The title for today is Ready or Not, because Jesus is coming back, and obviously he wants us to be ready for that. Do you remember playing the game hide and seek? Boy, I remember that. That was a lot of fun. Our rules were you had to count to 50, and then when you were done, you hollered out, ready or not, here I come. And then you look and you try and tag whoever it is before they can get back to home base. Now, I know when I play with my grandchildren, it's not quite to 50. They can't quite count that high. But you know, it's basically that kind of a thing. I remember playing hide and go seek, and I remember lots of excuses and lots of complaints. You didn't count to 50. You counted too fast. Somebody else was hiding in my place. All kinds of excuses that were made. But you know what? They weren't ready. Ready or not, they were still caught. I tell you about this game because I don't know that Jesus played hide or seek. I suppose he could have. But this parable that he teaches us today, this parable that he helps us to see, I'm hoping this game of hide and seek can help us out. You see, ready or not, Jesus is coming, and he so much wanted his disciples to be ready, and he so much wants you and me to be ready as well. Jesus told this parable about 10 women, 10 virgins, about a marriage feast, about a wonderful thing for them. Now, in Jesus' day, there wasn't a whole lot of entertainment. No TV, no cell phones, no CD players, no automobiles for driving around, no malls for the ladies to go shopping in. Basically, the high point of the day was going to the well and getting water. There wasn't too much excitement, unless there was a wedding. Ho-ho! If there was a wedding coming up, that was the great thing for the whole community, and everybody looked forward to it. Well, they had a little bit of a game to the wedding. The bridegroom would try if he could to sneak up on the guests and to get to the wedding party before they could know that he was there. But see, there was another rule. The other rule was that as the bridegroom was coming, somebody had to say, "The bridegroom is coming, ready or not." It's important that we understand that to understand the parable that Jesus is telling. It says the bridegroom was delayed in coming. Now, one of the rules was there was a certain parameters of the bridegroom said, I'm going to be coming between this time and this time, so that those who should have been ready would be ready. And when the person who came calling, ready or not, here he comes, the bridegroom would come quickly, but the ladies, the virgins, they would light their lamps, and they were to lead the bridegroom in. Anyone who wasn't ready, anyone who didn't have their lamps ready and wasn't ready, would be shut out. Now that would be a social disgrace. They would be the laughingstock of the community for the next years afterwards. But you see, Jesus isn't just talking about a wedding feast. Jesus is talking about eternal life. All three of these parables that we'll be hearing are talking to us about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is very serious about warning the people that if you do not have that oil, if you do not have the oil for those lights when the Savior comes on Judgment Day, you will be shut out. How terrible it was for those women. Let us in, let us in. And the man inside, the bridegroom, says, I do not know you. And the door was shut, and there was no coming in at all. How frightening and how scary that is. And I'm sure that the women maybe would have made some excuses. You know, if the bridegroom wouldn't have been so late in coming, we would have been ready. Well, God's word speaks to us about that. In fact, God's word speaks to us about the grace of Jesus not coming yet. Peter will write to us and he will say, "The Lord is not slow about keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Because there's still some people that need the oil in their lamps. There's still some people that Jesus wants into his kingdom, and we need to share that message of Jesus with them. There's still many foolish people today that do not have the Word of God, that do not have Jesus living inside of them. Now, it's not because, like in the parable, Jesus is trying to sneak up on us. My goodness, think of how many Old Testament prophecies there were that the Savior is coming. Someone has counted over 400. In the Old Testament, fully it continued to say, the Messiah is coming, Jesus is coming. When Jesus did come, all the fulfillments are there, and the Scriptures are full of all the fulfillments that Jesus has come. Jesus has said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and receive you." Jesus said that on the last day, here's all the signs that are going to be there before I come once again. Jesus has spent a lot of time, and his apostles and his prophets have spent a lot of time saying, "Jesus is coming back, ready or not, get ready." So how foolish it is for people today not to know Jesus. Not to trust Jesus. Jesus has given us so many ways of how he continues to fill us with his oil, with the oil of being ready for him. Through daily prayer and devotions. I'm so glad Ethan's baptism was this morning. We had a baptism last night. James was baptized. What a great reminder. Do you know, Mom and Dad and sponsors made a promise, but we made a promise too. You know, the promise that we made is to make sure that Ethan grows up and knows about Jesus. We all made that promise. Parents make that promise. Parents say, "I want to make sure, and I've been praying for this child, I'm going to place into his hands the Holy Scriptures." Any of you who are second grader parents know that this is the weekend, Pastor mentioned that we give to you that special second grader Bible. That Bible that, in a way, fulfills that promise that we have said. That special Bible that will be presented to our second graders so that they might read it and learn it and study it and grow in that and to be filled with Jesus. How important it is to have the daily prayer and devotions at home. Public worship. That's why you came, right? You came today to be filled with Jesus. You came today because Jesus gives to us his precious gifts as we meet together in public worship. Bible class. Oh, how significant that is as we meet together with brothers and sisters in Christ, as we ask questions and hear answers and challenge one another with all kinds of new ways of growing. So many opportunities for Bible study and for Bible classes. How important it is to be a part of that. And as we're filled with that oil of Jesus, as Jesus is in our lives, it makes a difference. And so we live lives of service, of loving service and caring service for God. Yes, how very significant it is that we be wise in being filled with Jesus, of having Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. And so your baptism, what a daily reminder. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's a daily blessing for Ethan and for each and every one of us that we have the daily blessing of our baptism. We have the daily blessing of reading the Scriptures. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, brothers and sisters, what a joy it is. What a joy to share those Bible stories and those messages about Jesus. And we come together, as we do again today. We regularly come together to receive the gifts that God gives, the divine service that he gives to us, so that we're empowered then to go out and to live our lives for him. The foolish ones came and they brought their lamps, but they brought no oil. That'd be like trying to use your cell phone and you haven't charged it up. That's like using a flashlight with no batteries. That's like trying to drive your car with no gas. Makes no sense. They were foolish because they brought their lamps but no oil. How can we live our lives without Jesus? How can we live our lives without God's word, without Jesus continually filling us and blessing us with his gifts? He showers us with those gifts, and he gives so many for all others. So, got oil? Does Jesus live faithfully in your hearts and in your lives? How about family members and friends? So often we baptize many babies and many people. It comes time for second grader Bibles, and not all of those who are baptized come for second grader Bibles. It comes time for confirmation instruction, and not everyone comes for confirmation instruction. There's the confirmation rite, and after the rite, not all those who make the promise continue in. God oil? Boy, there's a lot of oil that Jesus would give to us. How faithful are we, and how can we help others to be faithful, to come back and to receive those precious gifts? Jesus is coming. He says, "Behold, I am coming, and I am coming soon." May Jesus continue to keep us steadfast and faithful in his word as he is coming soon, ready or not. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.